Right now, I'm in this phase of thinking we're just surrounded by people who are not interested in equality and love.
I think I would amend that to say we're surrounded by people who are more interested in their own well-being than they are those collective values. Welcome to Signal, the podcast that raises your frequency. I'm Maury Fontanez.
And I'm Melissa Grushka.
And today we are here to process right alongside you the results of the U.S. election. Dean, are you ready to talk about that?
I don't know. I'll try my best.
Hi, my best friend.
Hi, buddy. It feels a solemn moment to greet you, but it's good to see your face.
Full disclosure, we are recording this episode 2 days after the results of the U.S. election. We recognize that it will be coming out a week after, but I don't know that we'll be feeling that much differently given the results that are still pouring in. And so, you know, normally what Bean and I would do would be to call each other and process. And so we thought, well, why don't we just call each other and process and make it an episode. So
yeah,
this is going to be slightly less structured. It's going to be two friends really talking about what it feels like to be waking up to this reality in this moment in this country. And I think our goal is to just be there with you as you're processing your feelings and emotions. We'll try to have some inspiring takeaways at the end, but don't hold us to it. So I guess without much further ado, I think we both know what our cringe is. Bean, how you feeling today?
Today, I felt actually really angry. Yesterday, I felt so devastatingly sad and crushed. And today, I woke up feeling like rage, which is not a feeling I typically have unless it's like someone messes with like you or my kids.
Yeah.
There's not a lot of like rage from my own shit.
Yeah.
But I feel rage right now. I feel like a fire within, which I'm trying to use as a motivational moment that perhaps I will get more involved or we will all unite because I know I'm not the only one feeling this internal burning right now. But I feel sad and mad and disappointed. How do you feel?
Yeah, I agree. Yesterday was the same. Yesterday, just so everyone knows, the day after the election for us, woke up really, really sad. I said to TJ, it felt like someone had died. It felt
100%.
like grief mm-hmm. at that level, mm-hmm. which surprised me because I don't usually react to politics that way. But I just want to make clear, this is not about politics. I think that's what the grief has been for me. And, you know, a couple of things made it worse. Both of my two kids who live here. We have two others, obviously, we're blended, but Raina and Keon were really involved. They were really interested. They were debating with their friends. They were watching Kamala and feeling like, oh, okay, I kind of feel good about things again. Yeah. They obviously, and lots of kids, by the way, reflect this. You know, they watch Trump and they think, what? We're taught that we're not allowed to lie or break the rules or name call or be harmful. So, you know, matching that up against what they're hearing from their parents in Sesame Street, it's not matching. And so I guess long way of saying the biggest heartbreak for me was how devastated they were.
Yeah.
Both of them were emotional in the morning. One of them couldn't go to school until a little bit later.
Oh, wow.
And I felt like such a clear, oh, wow, you can't protect them from everything.
It's heartbreak.
And this is the country that we are handing them. And it's ugly. Like, it's not that the country's ugly. We live in a beautiful place. But the things they're hearing are so ugly. And I think as a parent, I'm having a hard time reconciling how to help them remember that there's so much love and goodness and light when so many people voted for so much hatred.
I think you should share how you are going to do that because I'm an adult and I am really struggling right now to understand where the love went and where the hope is. And for me in particular, I live in Bucks County.
Woo, we were watching Bucks county right. closely.
If you have not been living under a rock, you know that it was a pivotal county in a pivotal state. And Trump won Bucks County. And for me, I mean, my kids are a little younger than yours. I don't feel like it's registered for them in the same way. For me, it was about who am I surrounded by? Where am I living? Like, what is the community that I'm exposing my own children to? And I will say we looked a little closer in my particular town, Kamaloan. So I was like, okay, there's a little breath of fresh air in that, but it's still, I'm surrounded. And I don't know, again, speaking to parenting and honestly, I guess my own internal self, how to not other them when I'm complaining about them othering everyone else. How do I show up and treat them with humanity and kindness when I feel like they are destroying our world?
That's such a real question. I think that it's a question that everyone who wants to try and heal is asking. I think there's a lot of people who are still just in their grief and their rage and not able to even think about how do I look at the other side. But okay, so I think a couple things just to try to organize my thoughts and hopefully this conversation. The first being that the whole country went in this direction. I think we just have to reconcile that. I don't think this is just a niche group of people who
it's not
... which means there's not one explanation for why Trump won so overwhelmingly. And I think we have to try to hold the complexity of that. That, you know, we in the past, I think, were guilty of, and by we, I guess I mean the left or Democrats, although I don't even know what I feel about that party right now, because I feel let down. But the mistake that we've made so far, and I've said this repeatedly, is to categorize and judge and put people in buckets and label them if they said that they were Trump supporters.
Which I can fully admit to you I have done and continue to do. Yeah.
I think the reckoning that we're having is, it's not just those people. It's not the people that you see on Jordan Klepper at the rallies wearing Trump merchandise from head to toe, where we like to think that they're radical right or that they are, you know, the kind of deep evangelical Christian that's about abortion. It's obviously more people than that. And so I think we have to try really hard to lay our judgment down slightly so we can just start to see, well, wait a minute, who did vote for him and why? And I have said this for a long time. There's two things. We are not political pundits. This is not a political show, but this is my feeling to try to explain it for myself. The first one is when people cannot afford groceries and cannot feed their families, that level of pain, suffering, desperation cannot be rationalized with, nor should we expect that it should be. You know, that is a very difficult circumstance to live through and to suffer through. And so often when that's happening, the incumbent has a hard time fighting against that. And so I just want to caution us who want to categorize all Trump voters as racist and sexist, which I'm having a hard time saying these words myself. I just want to say that.
Okay. I'm like, to understand that,
to understand that this is about more than that for people who have had a hard time living through inflation and just existing and surviving. And so when it comes to survival, we make really difficult choices. Like think about even when you're just hungry, literally, like you're focused on feeding your body. You're focused on being able to survive. So I just think that there is a survival vote in here that we have to consider. And then the second part is, you know, when Biden dropped out and Kamala was selected, I turned to my sister and I said, this country is not ready for a female president, let alone a female president of color.
the fuck is that about? I had this conversation this morning. My husband disagrees. He thinks it has nothing to do with her being a woman. I said, are you out of your mind? Like 100% this country is not ready for a woman. And that in itself is so disturbing.
Yeah, I think I saw something like 86 countries have had female leaders and not the US.
And I don't think they're close to it. I mean, look at this vote. We see it. We're just not close to it. And back to your point, I agree. Fine. I can attempt to not bucket those individuals, but there are so many others, like in my community, who are able to feed their children through inflation and feed themselves. And I texted this morning a neighbor friend of mine to ask about another neighbor at the bus stop, because I am very vocal about my opinions and my feelings on this. And I realized I had been discussing it and they were kind of quiet. And I asked her, do you think that they voted for Trump? And she said, I just don't know. And these are nice people who we engage with daily. But I cannot find it in my heart of hearts to say, well, they have other redeeming qualities, because I think Trump is such a monster that no matter what aspect of him that you voted for, how could that, his lack of kindness and care and concern for others, not resonate with you as a human, just as a human being? Like, how can the way he communicates and treats women and grab him by the pussy and all of these horrible things, he's an accused rapist, how do these things not impact you? I don't understand. And I want to, because I think I'm doing my children a disservice by othering people so much in this way. When I do promote kindness and inclusivity and accepting others, even when they don't always agree with you, but I can't find it right now. And I don't know how to. How do we ignore the fact that they ignored this huge, glaring criminal, rapist, racist? It blows my mind.
I mean, I do think that media and social media has a lot to do with that. I think that we don't have a singular truth anymore. I think that people consume the information that they're going to consume in the echo chamber that they consume it in. And what I mean by echo chamber is like where everyone agrees on one thing being a collective set of quote unquote facts. So I think it depends on what your Instagram feed and your TikTok feed is full of. I really do. And I think that that algorithm has severely failed us when it comes to public discourse and the ability to learn from one another when we don't see eye to eye. Social media has allowed us to just stay in our little bubble of what we believe and then keep getting fed more and more content from influencers who agree with us and news snippets that are taken out of context to further indoctrinate a way of thinking. So I guess what I'm saying is those people at the bus stop are not seeing the same Trump you're seeing, because they're reading different news and they're hearing different snippets. You know, CNN's showing you one snippet of his rally. They're seeing the part where he, you know, says something about how they're going to be able to afford more, right? Like, we cannot ignore the fact that we are receiving two different sets of data.
Totally agree. But that's what I'm saying, that even receiving different data, there's still like this complete basic lack of humanity that I believe he consistently displays on all media channels across the board that somehow half of this country finds endearing. And I'm very, very confused on how to embrace those people when they can see someone who's so unkind to others and say, that's right for me.
Yeah. I mean, let's get into that. What does he stand for that is attractive right now? By the way, we talked about this with Ainsley. I really think this is a good time to go back and listen to that Ainsley McLeod episode around where I asked him specifically, can you explain what's happening in the US when you talk about old souls and new souls and that kind of thing? But what is attractive about someone like Trump is this projection of, and we both know, performance of power and authority. And I think there's a couple of things happening there. One, the part that was really terrifying for me actually is how many Gen Z young men voted for Trump. And so I have to look at that and ask, what's going on here? Right. Why are they feeling so represented by this man?
Right.
And I do think every time the pendulum swings towards feminism, towards empowering women, for some fucking reason, men get really disempowered by that message. And I think we are living in an age of, thankfully, more and more women finding their voice, speaking truth to power, being in positions of leadership. And there's something in these young men that's reacting to that, or feeling that somehow that's taking away their value or their sovereignty in some way. And I'll say something. I think I've told this story, but I once was volunteering when Raina was in kindergarten in her classroom. And I was putting worksheets together in the back of the classroom while the teacher had all of the kids on the carpet and they were working on some exercise. And I was watching as every time she asked a question, these girls would just, hands would shoot up. They had the answers. You know, they'd pick the boys. The boys would, you know, just articulate differently. You know, boys and girls just mature at a different stage.
It's a fact.
And what's happening in this country is that our academic like rigor is only increasing. It's only becoming more and more test oriented and rigorous in elementary schools and junior high schools and high schools. And so I think that if you are a young man, I'll just finish the story. I came home and I said to TJ, I said, you know, I watched something interesting happen where these boys got quieter and quieter as the girls were speaking up more and more and they had all the answers and the boys needed more time or a different way to process the information.
Right.
And I said to him, I can see a little bit of shame forming in there. And so what happens to shame? It turns to resentment. I'm not diagnosing the whole thing. I'm just saying, I think that when I look at young men and the way they're feeling about women, it starts with somehow feeling less valuable in comparison to them. And so now Trump stands for all of a sudden like power again, or that you will be valued. I don't know. Maybe I'm rambling. Men. I hope this is making sense, but that's another thing I think that is really happening is this pendulum swing to male power. And somehow this notion that men have that they've lost power, which is, you know, obviously ask any woman, like, insane.
It's already, right. It's a patriarchal society. Like, what's the issue? And even if that is correct in what you're saying, then what? And so what? So feel bad. Nothing should shift. But why is it shifting? And how will we break through this and escape it?
And but if you feel bad about yourself and someone comes along to say, hey, guess what? You don't have to feel bad anymore. You are powerful. I'm going to protect those women, whether they like it or not. There's something in that that I think is inspiring for a young man who feels disempowered somehow. Again, I can't believe I'm saying these words. I don't think that they should be disempowered, but I do think that there are ways that sometimes young girls can outperform boys in situations that can create this notion within them.
That was not happening before, or it was happening, which is why it's been a patriarchal society this whole time.
That was happening, which is why it's been a patriarchal society. And what we did is we really pushed that limit, as we should, towards more equality, which means we see more women with more power. And for some reason, that's just underscoring this notion that their power is going to be taken away. It's this scarcity mindset. It's that binary mindset of, if they have it, I can't have it.
And we've made all this progress, but then this happens and I think, oh, right, how much progress have we really made? How much more do we have to push? How much stronger do we all have to be? And what can we do? to not have these young men feeling insecure or what have you. And I don't know how I even think. Yeah, I don't even know if I agree with that anyway, if that's what I think is going on here. I mean, right now I'm in this phase of thinking we're just surrounded by people who are not interested in equality and love and kindness.
Because I think I would amend that to say we're surrounded by people who are more interested in their own well-being than they are those collective values.
That's so disturbing to only care about yourself and not care about everybody. And but yet I'm doing it by saying, like, I am so angry right now that I feel like I can't even like communicate with anybody who voted for Trump, because we are just so fundamentally and foundationally different human beings that I cannot even, which I know is wrong. I get it. I'm just explaining how I feel, and I don't really know how to get out of that.
I'm trying not to judge that in myself. I have an acquaintance that I know voted for Trump, and I am just giving myself some space, and I'm trying not to judge it. And I almost thought about, like, if this person were to ask me, I think I'm comfortable saying I'm giving myself some space because I'm trying to feel how I feel. I am right now in the stage of whatever those seven stages of grief are, of rage too, and anger and disappointment. I'm trying to just let myself process that before I can even think about how I can have a conversation. And so I do think let's not rush to trying to have these conversations with each other right now.
Yeah.
I think everyone just needs to feel their feels. Like, truly, have you seen these really cute Sesame Street like reels and content from Elmo and Grover? And it's so sweet. And Oscar the Grouch. And they're just like coming on to be like, if you're grouchy right now, it's okay. You know, if you're sad right now, it's okay. It's just we right now just need to feel how we feel. And then as we feel how we feel, it will become action time. And I think that the majority of our action needs to be focused on protecting rights. I have just a couple of very obvious organizations we'll put in the show notes that you should look at and see what they're doing and see how you want to get involved and support them. Because this is about now protecting rights. It's about protecting women's rights. It's about protecting LGBTQ plus rights. It's about protecting Black people in this country. It's about protecting immigrants. Like, we need to really get involved in that protection. And I do believe this is a wake-up call, and you are going to see more engagement from people. I really do believe that. I'm already hearing that from the people who are texting me. Like, I've never felt more grounded in my purpose. I said this to you yesterday. You were like, how are you coaching?
Right.
I woke up crying. Right. And I said, it's so interesting because yesterday happened to be a day where I was coaching all women, female executives, female public personalities. And I felt like, God damn it, if I'm not going to make sure I empower you people. Like, this is exactly what my purpose is. I also called every single one of my LGBTQ plus friends and clients, all of my trans friends and clients, everyone, just to check in on them. So I do feel like we are going to be more grounded in our purpose of fighting. And we have to do that after we feel our feelings. And I do think we have to start thinking about how we're going to talk to the other side, because we can't stay divided. I said this to my kids yesterday. They have cousins in Florida. And I just said, guys, please do not let this get in the way of your relationship with your family.
We can't stay divided. I agree. But I don't know how to bridge the divide. And like, again, I guess I'm doing exactly what I'm against. I'm against all of these people who are spouting hate and not allowing others perspectives in, but I'm doing the same thing. But like, I just don't, like, I don't want to engage with people who are so selfish in my mind and who don't care about women's rights and trans rights, who they're not important to, that humanity is not an important goal of theirs, like having a better world. I guess they think that they are creating a better world.
They do. If you've seen some of the interviews that people are like catching of people's reactions yesterday, there's a lot of people who I was surprised were like, we saved democracy or we saved this country. And I just want to say this. I think once I get past my inability to look at the other side, which I know that I will, I think my strategy is genuinely curiosity, because I am starting to become genuinely curious. Yeah. And so what curiosity requires is a lack of assumption, is a just a question. It's like what we learn when we're being taught the scientific method. Like, you're not going to, you might have a hypothesis, but you're going to go into this experiment really open to what might come out of that. I think we have to think about, like, and let me ask you, what is one question you genuinely have for someone who voted for Trump to just try to understand them better?
Why do you think that women don't have a right to make decisions about their own bodies? If somebody came up to you and said, I'm going to cut your finger off, would you have a say? Would you say anything? Would you say, well, that's my finger and I need that finger and that's on my body and you have no right to touch me in that way? Or would you just let somebody else make the decision about who takes your fingers and who doesn't? Would you let the government make a decision about your fingers go? Like, that's my question.
That's such a fair question, but that's not a question that comes from curiosity. It's a question that comes with an assumption. So if I want to actually have a generative discussion where I do learn something, I think the way that I would ask that question is, what really made you vote for him? And then my follow-up would be, where did women's rights fall into this for you?
And if they
rather than assuming that it didn't.
Okay, fine. And if someone tells you, like I think a lot of people in this country feel, that it's God's way, we have no right to intervene, what is your response then? What is your curious response to that? Or how do you then say, oh, okay, well, I can respect your other statements and ignore this?
I didn't say you have to walk away respecting what they said. I'm just saying I'm not providing a holistic solution to us coming together. I'm just saying the very first next step I can think about is curiosity, so I can just try to understand, because I really don't understand. And I'm very uncomfortable with the fact that I'm living somewhere where I don't understand what the majority, a slight majority, let's remember 70 million people voted for Kamala. Mm-hmm. But I think that part of not understanding is really bugging me. Like, I just want to understand it. And so I'm not saying my mission is to bring us together right now. Okay. I'm saying my mission is to just understand. And so I think that if they responded with that, if I really still wanted to understand, I would ask, then how do you reconcile women dying because they're miscarrying in their car in Texas? Right. Like, what is the value of their life to you? Genuinely, I'm trying to understand. Is the value of their life in some way less to you than the life of that unborn child? And if I get an answer that I don't agree with, I'm not at a stage right now where I'm saying I'm going to keep engaging or that I want to try to get people to agree. It's just, I want to understand it. I don't think that the slight majority of this country is anti-abortion. I know that they're not. I mean, look at how people are voting when it comes to abortion.
I know, but they just voted for Trump. Make it make sense. Just make it make sense for
That's where I'm at too. I want to make it make sense. And I think we have to focus our efforts on rallying for fighting for rights more than anything. But I think that if we're going to heal this, we have to start to get curious. And drop the assumption.
Heal what?
Heal this division. I mean, we are so divided.
So divided. And I guess I'm in a space right now where I'm like, I don't know if I even want to unify and unite with people who, in my opinion, care so little about me and my rights and people I care about and their rights. Like, that's not who I want to surround myself with. That's not even necessarily who I want to get curious about. And I understand that that's problematic. And that's kind of how we've become so divided because of this lack of curiosity. But we are where we are now. And I see how foundationally different I am from a lot of people here. And not saying I'm right and they're wrong, because I'm sure they think they're right and I'm wrong. But my interest in understanding their side is just so low right now.
I think that's totally fair. I really do. And I mean, this is so reminiscent to the civil rights movement and to, you know, right. having to work with people and live alongside people who
right.
did not agree with, you know, abolishing segregation. Right. And it's like, okay, well, at some point, I don't care what you think about that. That's just despicable.
Correct.
Totally. Exactly I totally right. understand that. And somehow we found our way up and out of that. Clearly not that far up and out of that.
Correct.
Which
exactly.
is another thing I think we have to reconcile is exactly. that we're still in the civil rights movement. I think
exactly.
there's a lot of racism. I know as a brown person, ask any black woman or black man, there's 100%. A lot of racism in this country, alive and well. I don't know if you saw that text thing that's happening to black women where it's like an anonymous number texting them saying the van will be there to pick you up to go to the plantation to pick cotton.
What?
You're in group X. Oh, yeah.
What? No, I haven't heard this at all.
Black women are getting this text from an anonymous number as of yesterday.
Because this is what has been brought to the surface. All right. of these repressed sentiments that people have been, I guess, scared to share. As they should be, are now just, there's a huge platform and people can say disgusting shit like that. And then I'm supposed to go and be curious about why they think women should, their van should be coming to pick up the slaves, to pick cotton.
Absolutely.
Like I have no curiosity and fuck you for doing it. I have no curiosity.
Absolutely.
You're an asshole and that's it. And I'm not curious about you and your asshole ways.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
I don't know what to say.
Yeah,
I feel like
try.
I know. And listen, I feel like there is no resolution. And I would love to really maybe, and I don't know what to do. I will say my social media feed right now has been filled with women of similar mindset to my own. Of course, that's how the algorithm works. And these are women who are saying like, we got to get up. Like we can't, you know, feel your feels, but we got to get up and get together and we have to organize.
We have to organize and we have to stop being complacent. Not that I'm saying any of you listeners are, but I think
we
any
all
little
are in
thing
some way.
That we can do. Yeah. I think this was a massive, if you weren't awake already, you're wide awake,
right.
wake up call. And I think we have to check in with ourselves about where there might be some complacency. And I think we just have to understand that this is not the time for that. Like we have to be engaged. And by the way, you know, just so we're clear, the reason that we're having this conversation on this podcast, which is about self-growth and self-awareness, is because this is a time to do that internal inventory. Where have I stayed silent when I need to be speaking up? When have I allowed people to crash my boundaries and the boundaries of others so that they can be comfortable? Where am I complicit in this patriarchal, racist world? Where do I watch harm occur, even if it's a microaggression in a tone or a way that someone is spoken to? A Black person that you're with, a gay person that you're with, they're not even there and someone's making a joke. Are you laughing about it?
Stand up.
Or are you speaking up? Like those are little things. You don't have to go march in Washington. You don't have to donate. But I want us to be thinking about where we're complicit to this kind of rhetoric and where we need to get over the fear of making other people uncomfortable and make them fucking uncomfortable. They got to get uncomfortable because we are uncomfortable. This is uncomfortable. And it's okay to use your voice when someone is causing harm with their words.
Yeah. And I want to use more than my voice and I don't know where to start. And if any listeners or anybody catches wind of this and has any great ideas, I am ready to move. I'm ready to organize. I'm ready to do and make the world what I do want it to be for my children. Because this is not it.
Three places we can all start just to look into what they're doing, see how we can help. Obviously, the American Civil Liberties Union, the ACLU, has always been an important part of protecting civil rights. They are the ones that are taking cases to court that are going against people's civil rights. So check out the ACLU, follow them, see how you can get involved there. There's also the Center for Reproductive Rights. Again, could really use our attention and our focus and our help more than ever, given that female bodily autonomy is absolutely now an issue that is in harm's way. And then there's the NAACP. And just, you know, from there, looking at how we can support Black men and women and children in this country, you know, one of the things we need to be aware is that when we talk about rule of law, police are going to be even more empowered, which is terrifying for Black people. So we need to figure out how we can support each other. There's the Human Rights Campaign that is actively involved in supporting LGBTQ plus rights. Obviously, those rights are going to be on the chopping block. So four places to start. We'll link to them. They then are great resources for other resources. The other thing I want to say, I have a friend here, Sarah, who is on the board of Domestic Violence Solutions here in Santa Barbara. Mm-hmm. Look at local causes that are there to help women, LGBTQ+, Black and brown people, immigrants, get involved locally. Yeah. Those causes need funding. They need volunteers. They need support to keep doing the hard work they're doing with very little resources on the ground to create safety and security for these groups of people that are being targeted. So check locally at where you can get involved in those things and just show up and donate your time, your thinking, your money, whatever it is, especially around the holidays, guys. I think it's a really good thing to think about and talk to your families about as well.
I agree. And I'm hoping we can devote another episode to, we re-aired by the time this comes out, it'll be last week, a managing conflict episode, which I think was like a basic tips on managing easier conflict. But I would really like to have another updated managing conflict episode where we take a deeper dive into how we communicate and engage with people who are so fundamentally on the other end of the spectrum from us.
Yeah. Well, I'm going to say what I said when I texted you from one woman to another. I love you. I'm grateful that we have each other. We have to stick together. Yeah. And I think right now, let's be really loving to each other. The power of that love is so healing for those of us that are afraid, that are sad, that are disappointed. So just to all you listeners, we make this show because we love you all so much. Mm-hmm. And you always can find a safe space here where we will talk about things that are always about making your life better, making you feel more whole and more empowered. And we commit to doing that even more now than ever before. Exactly. So thank you for listening. You know, I think this is an important conversation, so please share this conversation with as many people as you can and have a conversation with them about the episode and get involved. Love you, Bean.
Love you.
See you next week.
See you next week. Bye.
This has been another episode of Signal, the podcast that raises your frequency. This podcast is co-hosted and produced by myself, Maury Fontanez, and Melissa Grushka, and is edited by our sound editor, Josie Barak. Stay tuned next week for another episode.